and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you today?
I am having a great night because we're going to talk about one of my favorite things. I always claim to be a Jersey girl, and I've lived in Jersey all my life, but the more we do these shows, the more I think there must be a little part of me that's a California girl, because I love when we talk about the West Coast.
Well, and you are the expert to talk about the West Coast. Tonight, we're going to do another installment of our stroll through series. Tonight, we're going to stroll through Disney's California Adventure.
And that park is really kind of a baby. It didn't open until February 8th, 2001. And they've gone through a lot of transformations there. In 2012, they added the ever-popular Cars Land, which I know so many rumors floated around for so long that they were going to duplicate Cars Land on the East Coast. I remember when they took out the Lights, Motor, Action, Stunt Show, any message board you read said, Cars Land is coming. For those that think it's still coming to that location, newsflash, that is now Batu.
Yeah, very different types of transport going in and out of there now. Not so much Mater and Lightning McQueen.
2018, they refaced the pier and turned it into Pixar Pier. And then just recently, right at their COVID reopening, they brought on the Avengers Campus, something many East Coasters wish we could have. And we won't see because of an IP issue with Marvel. But out in California, we can have all of the Avengers and our favorite Marvel characters.
Well, and that's the interesting piece that you mentioned it. It's an intellectual property agreement that Marvel itself had made with Universal Studios way back in the day before we even had an idea, before Jon Favreau had an idea to cast Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. The agreement was in place. And so that's why when you go to the Dark Side theme park on a little bit further down the road, you see Wolverine walking around in his yellow and blue jumpsuit. And you'll see the older versions of some of these Marvel characters that existed prior to the Disney acquisition. And so the Adventures Campus over in California allows us to see things like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and Black Widow and all sorts of different things that they've really just leveraged. We get Spider-Man on the West Coast. So a really great opportunity here in Disney California Adventure to leverage some of that intellectual property that, as you said, the East Coast guests are clamoring for. But the reality is, aside from Guardians of the Galaxy and a few things that they were able to put into some of our theme parks on the East Coast, unless you're going on a cruise ship, you're going to the West Coast in the United States to see this intellectual property. There's some options overseas, but it's either cruise ship or in Disney California Adventure to really get your fill.
And we'll have to do a show one day because Disneyland Paris just rethemed one of their resorts entirely to Marvel. So that is an international option for our Marvel fans as well. California Adventure was really known. The entrance had these larger-than-life letters that spelled out California, and the front of them had different scenes from all over the state. And that wording could be found in the Esplanade right before the entrance, all the way up until 2011, when they reimagined that park entrance area. They felt that they were clogging up the entrance a little bit. But if you miss those letters like I do, because they were awesome and a very welcoming sign, Disney is always about recycling when they can and donating into the community. So you can find those California letters now with the Friends of the California State Fair at the fairgrounds.
All right. So as somebody who, as you know, has not spent time on the West Coast, you're walking into this park. Where do you go first?
The first thing you do when you walk into this park is you get a little confused.
Great. Always what we want.
When I walk into this park, you kind of enter a movie studio. That is the setting. And so when you enter, I think if you're a Walt Disney World regular, you're looking for those Hollywood Studios things. You're thinking Batu is here. It's not. You're looking for Toy Story Land. It's not. So it takes a minute to kind of readjust. But first thing in the morning, you want to head to Cars Land or to the Avengers Campus. Those are going to be your longest lines all day.
Okay, so you're giving the advice based on the popularity of attractions in the specific parts of the park.
Definitely.
Okay. You know, we talk about these specific things when we are discussing these parks, and a lot of times we talk about classic rides, right? You're mentioning that this park is kind of a baby. You know, what kind of classics, are there any classics that we're really running to experience, or is what you just described really the heart of it?
There are really no classics in this park. Why? The original park is right across the Esplanade. That's where you're going to find your classics. So they're not building those original rides in this new park.
So really, as you described, where you go first, it's not only where you go first, it's really why you're there. Is that accurate? Is that fair? I mean, you're going
to- I don't know that I'd say that it's accurate, because I have to say, this park has so many things that it's like, this is awesome and this is awesome. And it's got section after section of big hits.
Okay. So let's start with thrill rides then. If I'm a thrill ride seeker and I want to go to this particular park, what am I hitting? What are my must-dos?
Radiator Racers, Guardians Mission Breakout. That's the re-theming of Tower of Terror. So from the outside, it's going to look a little familiar to you. The Incredicoaster, Goofy Sky School, Grizzly River Run, if you're up for getting a little bit wet, and of course, the original home of Soaring.
Okay, so a significant number of thrill rides.
I said this park packs it all in.
Which is great. And I know every time we talk about the West Coast, we talk about the lack of space. So in order to get all these things in, they have to be packed in. So let's talk about, I guess, before we even go any further, the proximity of some of these things to each other. I know it's smaller. Does it feel tight?
It definitely doesn't feel tight. I am crisscrossing both parks all day long. I definitely get my steps in, but everything is easily accessible.
One of the things we talk about constantly on the East Coast is when we get that Florida rain in the afternoon, which we're almost guaranteed to get, where do we go? We don't really run into that as much in California, but sometimes you just need a break. So what are your suggestions for if we do get the rain, or if you're just kind of cooked and need to take a minute and recoup? What's the place to do that?
And again, lots of options spread out all over the park. The Little Mermaid ride is a great one. Mickey's PhilharMagic, the Monsters, Inc. ride, Disney Junior Live on Stage. They also have a Disney Animation Academy here that has multiple rooms to it. It's got the drawing class that we love, a character meet, a chance to see old films playing. So you could easily be inside there for 90 minutes to 2 hours or just 10 minutes. That's a spot that really has a lot of opportunity for you. And then, of course, the Hyperion Theater with their live stage show.
So you're mentioning the Hyperion Theater, and I want to get to that in a second, but you mentioned the PhilharMagic. Are we seeing the same show for those of us that are East Coasters on the West Coast, or is it a different tweaked show?
It is the same show. If you had asked me that question about 6 months ago, I would tell you it was different. Disneyland got the updated PhilharMagic before Walt Disney World did, but now they are the same.
Okay. So let's go back to the Hyperion Theater, because it's a nice segue to something else that I think we definitely need to pay some attention to. And I know this is kind of in your wheelhouse. Disney is noted and remembered and revered for the shows that they put on. Obviously, the Hyperion Theater plays a role in that. So talk to us about the shows that exist in Disney California Adventure.
You bet. And one of the things that I really love about the Hyperion Theater, you all know I've talked at all of the parks about my love for the shows, but the Hyperion Theater is really the closest you're going to get to a Broadway show theater. You walk in and you have that Broadway theater feel. You've got upper mezzanines and lower mezzanines and the carpet and the theater style chairs. You've got that I'm in Broadway feel. They used to have an Aladdin stage show that was absolutely incredible. They performed feats. I'm not sure how they did in there. Currently, it is Frozen the Musical. Again, that is currently a Broadway show. So you're really getting that bit of Broadway included in your admission. And again, you're always going to want to check your app. Sometimes there'll be some unique things going on in that theater for holidays or different parties. But in general, it's one show multiple times a day. It is a larger size theater, but it is packed because the show is always amazing.
Well, and I think you touched on something that is worth mentioning. You know, Frozen is playing there now, is running there now, and that is a Broadway show. The really huge benefit they have for having a theater space like this, and they do some of these with the cruise ships that we've talked about as well, a little bit less of it at Walt Disney World. You know, they have such an incredible presence in all of the major areas of the world where theater is so predominant. If you walk through Broadway in New York City, you can't walk without seeing a Disney theatrical production. And so having the Hyperion Theater in California kind of gives a little bit of a test market in a real full-scale theater to see what will play and what won't. So you never know what ends up landing there, what then may find its way a little bit more jazzed up in a different location as well, which I think is really, really cool and exciting.
So true.
All right, what other shows are we talking about?
They have the World of Color, which is their evening show that is incredible. It is done on a lake. There are special effects on the lake, on the rides, on the Pixar Pier, serve as that kind of movie screen effect that we are looking for. And there are two different shows. There is their regular World of Color show, and then their holiday one, which is narrated by Neil Patrick Harris. And it has a phenomenal world virtual choir that got together for it. So definitely check it out if you're there. I highly recommend either a World of Color dinner package or, not part of your genie, just an extra bonus, you can get a World of Color viewing location spot because all of the patios around the lake are assigned colors and are basically reservation only, even if it's not paid. One of the other things that we've talked about here, again, you mentioned it earlier, Jeff, that we don't have the luxury of space. There are rooms both at the Grand Californian and Paradise Pier that can look into the park and view this show. And conveniently, turn your TV on and you can hear the music.
Well, and obviously for the holiday one, you know, you're tying so many things that you've mentioned here that are loves of yours. You're getting Neil Patrick Harris and you're getting a choir at the same time. I mean, it's just two for two in Sandy's checklist.
It is. You know, the only thing that would make it better, Neil live. But, you know, we'll take what we can get.
You can't have everything. Any other shows that you want to discuss?
They don't have it currently, but we're hoping to see it back there soon. Paint the Night, an evening parade. The modern version of my dear favorite, the Main Street Parade. The technology from the time the Main Street Parade came out to the creation of Paint the Night is just awesome. I can't say enough great things about it. And again, I spoke earlier that one of the things that always kind of blows my mind about Disneyland is there are more evening shows between the two parks here than the four parks in Walt Disney World. So when you're planning, you need generally at least three nights to be able to get in all of these shows, and they're all phenomenal. You don't want to have to pick and skip others.
The next thing I want to segue to is, we're going to touch on it, but essentially, if you're listening to this and this piques your interest, you really need to go back and listen to some previous shows, because the next piece we're going to discuss is festivals, and we've done our fair share of breaking down these festivals, so I'm going to let you kind of handle this however you think is the most appropriate, because there is so much to discuss there. But I would urge the listeners, and we'll put it in the show notes, go back and listen to how we break down some of these, because we break them down pretty in depth, as Sandy was obviously there to experience them. But give us a breakdown of the festivals.
And I think two unique things about it. Like I said earlier, when you're looking for the rides, you kind of get confused a minute. What park are you in? When you're here, you're thinking Epcot for festivals, but this is their festival park. And they really celebrate everything. Being West Coast versus Central Florida, they're much more of a melting pot. And so we see holidays celebrated that they have yet to bring to Walt Disney World. I did their Lunar New Year celebration this year that was phenomenal. Viva Navidad, Three Kings Day, celebrate soulfully. They really take in those extra things. And then they have others that we would expect. They have their own food and wine festival. And I know Jeff told you to listen to the show, but if you're a food and wine festival fan in Orlando, you have to try it in California. So amazing. And to be outdoors enjoying that great weather, an incredible festival. They've got the Festival of the Holidays. This is also where they're going to do their Halloween party. The Oogie Boogie Bash is here. And on the West Coast, we still have grad nights in May and June. That opportunity for school groups to celebrate those big occasions in life.
Well, and I think everything that you just mentioned there about the festivals, you know, you had led off the show saying when you walk in, maybe you're a little confused as to where to go. And so folks that haven't experienced it, you know, we've just thrown a tremendous amount at them. Everything from Cars Land to Avengers Campus to professional theaters. And now we're like, oh, by the way, there's also all of these festivals that if you're an East Coast person and you're thinking World Showcase, yeah, those are here too. So a significant amount to kind of digest. All the more reason why, if you're considering a trip to the West Coast to do Disneyland and to do Disney California Adventure, you got to talk to a travel specialist because it's the best way to maximize your particular vacation.
Thank you. And their festivals, I have to say, I really love them. They're not all about the food. There's definitely a good amount of it, but they all have incredible amounts of entertainment and a phenomenal education component for the kids. And I love how they really bring that educational value. And while I said for the kids, I guess I should fess up that a year ago, I couldn't necessarily tell you. I've heard of Three Kings Day, sure. Could I tell you exactly why it was and what was about it? No. Did they bring it to us in song, in arts and crafts, and in ways to really engage you and teach you and have it stick with you? So definitely a way for homeschoolers to celebrate and for anybody who's looking to add that extra dose of culture.
Listen, California is where Walt Disney himself laid the roots for the theme parks that we would come to know and love. Big parts of his mission were the edutainment factor that we talked about here. And the number one thing is he wanted parents to be able to go to this park and enjoy it with their children, and everybody has something to enjoy. Everything you just described there, it checks every single box in Walt's original mission. So it's no surprise that we see that in a California footprint. But what haven't we covered tonight?
You know, as I said, there's just so much about this park that I love. It is a park that has two entrances. The Grand Californian Resort has its own private entrance right into the theme park, something we don't see in Florida. And the other thing we didn't cover is Bugs Land. We said goodbye to Flick and Atta and all of their friends, Tuck and Roll and more, to make way for Avengers Campus. Those of you who had been to Bugs Land and you're now over on Pixar Pier and you're looking at the rides and you're saying, you know, that ride over there looks a little familiar to me. The Inside Out emotional whirlwind. You know why? That ride had a former life in Bugs Land and has been rethemed. And I guess the other thing we left out, again, what park are we in when we think Walt Disney World? This is also where you find Toy Story Midway Mania, which is a favorite for everybody. So when you head out to that Pixar Pier, you've got the coasters, you've got Toy Story, but then you also have what you typically find on a boardwalk, boardwalk games, boardwalk entertainment, and lots of character meets there as well.
Well, I know when we had talked about doing this show, it was overwhelming because there's just so many different things for people to experience. And again, this is not lip service. If you have not been here and you want to make the most of your experience, talk to the travel specialist. Make sure you get it right, especially if this is a trip that you're doing once, twice in a lifetime. Really take advantage of the folks that know what they're doing. And Sandy, you're the one who knows what they're doing. For every dollar that I could possibly give you, you're paying it back tenfold. So thanks for taking the time tonight to break down this awesome park as we strolled through it.
Thanks for having me join you.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share, have them like, and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week, and as always, keep making memories.